Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
It's an honor to be here, and it's even more of an honor to brag on Jesus for an hour or so.
All right.
He is truly awesome. Jesus is truly awesome. And, you know, it's we only know one person in the whole state of Texas now. That's Holly. We're blessed to know. We really have been blessed to know her. God, she's definitely a gift from God to us. But just in spending the evening with your pastor and his wife and Holly's family, it's amazing how we are part of the body of Christ. You can get to know somebody in just an evening, and you feel so welcome and warm, like you just know everybody for years. It's really neat how it can be that way in the body of Christ. You know, I thought about Holly and her family. Her sisters all have such a gift of communication. It's amazing. Made me think of, when you gave that scripture, made me think of a joke that says, you know, there's absolute proof that no women will be in heaven. No women are allowed in heaven. Because it says that there'll be silence for this reason. If everybody can hear the whole thing and try not to make a decision or form your opinions until you hear the whole thing, and you know, let me get through the whole entire presentation. Even Proverbs 18:13 says, "He that answers a matter before hearing it, it shall be folly and shame to him." Some people have walked out in 2 minutes and, you know, said it's crazy. So please bear with me. And it is an extremely important message, not so much because of my experience, but because of the portion of the Word of God it reveals to us. And I think, you know, all of us Christians and non-Christians, you know, need to really pay attention. Most of us think about our future and plan for our future, and we, you know, invest and we buy stocks and SEP accounts, and we get ourselves prepared for our future, which is usually the retirement years of maybe 20 years or so. But yet, we don't really put that much thought into what goes past that, our eternity. We don't give a lot of thought to that. And we should be preparing for our eternity. Every day, we should take opportunity to think about what lies ahead and prepare for that. So that's what this is really all about, is our eternity. And this experience I had is, when I came back from this experience, I wanted to check it out in the Word of God, because any spiritual experience from the Lord would already be in the Word of God. You wouldn't want to add to it, because the Bible says in three places not to add or take away from God's Word. So it has to already be in there. So I knew that, so I began to search the Scriptures to see what it says about hell, because I'd never done a study on hell in all the years I've been a Christian, and I wanted to find out what it said. And there were over 400 scriptures I found on hell, and so we typed up about 65 of them or so everybody can have them. So everything I seen or felt or heard, feelings inside, everything is already in the Word. So I won't have a chance to go back and reference every one as I go through, but if you can all read them later, you'll see that it's already in the Word. But anyway, I didn't take an opportunity. I just want to introduce my wife and have her stand up for a second. This is my wife, Annette. God's really blessed me with such a godly woman, and it's been the most blessed 2 years I've ever had in my life, is being married to her. So I just wanted to say that.
It's a good thing to say.
Truly, like God says, a woman is definitely a gift from heaven. You know, who can find a good woman? It's hard to find. Anyway, I wanted to say a few things about, if there's anybody here that doesn't have as much respect for the Word, maybe there's some people here that aren't saved and that don't know that the Bible is infallible. It's the Word of God. And so the basis experience on Scripture is really important. So I'd like to just take a 5 minutes or so and talk a little bit about the Bible, so you can get a little more of a healthy respect for the Word. I mean, all us Christians already know this, but if there's any one person that doesn't really put that much value on the Word, they should. It's not just a book. You know, and some people, they just don't know. It's just they're unaware of what the Bible says. And Mark Twain even said that we're all ignorant. It's just in different areas. And then Chuck Missler, a teacher that we listen to a lot, he said, "The only sure barrier to truth is to assume you already have it all." So we need to be teachable and open. So the Bible, it's not just a book. It's a collection of 66 books written by 40 authors over approximately 2,000 years. And it consisted of kings, military generals, prime ministers, leaders, doctor, fishermen, and even a tax collector wrote a book in the Bible. So God even let an IRS agent write a book. I have a friend that's an IRS agent, so I give her a hard time with that. But the Bible was written in three languages, Aramaic, Hebrew, and Greek. It was written in three continents, Asia, Africa, and Europe. And it's been translated into over 1,280 languages. No other book can claim that. And what's interesting is all these authors of the Bible all wrote about the same thing. They all wrote about Jesus. They're all born at different times. And they each foretold something about him. You know, they had gave some kind of clue as to what he would be like, what his characteristics would be like. And nobody else in history has ever foretold the future. There's over 300 scriptures in the Old Testament talking about Jesus, prophecies about Jesus. And just to give a few, I know we all know this, but things like it said in the Old Testament, Micah 5:2 said he'd be born in Bethlehem. Matthew 2:6, it was fulfilled. It says he would be born of a virgin. Isaiah 7:14, and it was fulfilled in Matthew 1:21. It said he would pierce his hands and feet. Psalms 26:16, and John 19:37, it's fulfilled. They would cast lots for his clothing. Not a bone shall be broken. It goes on and on for 300 things it says about Jesus that would occur. And the odds in that happening, one person fulfilling that, it's impossible. Impossible. And all the historians, the atheist historians, the famous ones like Suetonius and Tacitus, Philogon and Thales, they all wrote about Jesus. They were atheists, but they confirmed that he was there and these things happened. So for people, there's no other book. Wilbur Smith, he's a famous historian. He read over 25,000 books and spoke over 45 languages, this guy. And he said there's no other founder of any religion or cult that has identified any ancient text or manuscripts specifically foretelling their appearance. So in other words, there's no book ever written by anybody, any religious leader, that there was something written about them prior to them coming. And here there was over 300 about Jesus. So it's absolute proof. Westmont College and Harvard University did a study on the odds in one person fulfilling all these prophecies. And it was interesting because they found that they took over 600 students and worked on this and took the population and how many women there were and men, and they figured out these odds and what the odds would be in a person fulfilling just eight of them, just eight of the prophecies. And they said it was 1 in 10 to the 17th. So that's 10 with 17 zeros after it. And if, just to give you an idea how big of a number that is, scientists say our universe is 15 billion years old. If it's 15 billion years old, how many seconds are in 15 billion years? One in 18 zeros after it. So 1 in 10 to the 17th, it's almost as many seconds as there are in the, just to fulfill 8. So it's incredible what he did. And H.L. Hastings, he's a scholar and historian, he said more kings, leaders, popes, and emperors from Diocletian in 303 AD to modern communism have tried to destroy or outlaw the Bible. If this book had not been the Word of God, it would have been destroyed years ago. Many rulers have tried. They died. The book lives on. Amen?
Amen.
Other historical documents we look at have only like a dozen or two supporting documents to it. But the Bible has over 20,000 supporting documents. So it's so well proven. Voltaire, the French poet and historian, famous Voltaire, he said, in 100 years from my time, Christianity would be swept from existence and passed into history. 50 years later, after he said that, the Geneva Bible Institute took over his printing presses and began printing Bibles on it. Got the irony, wasn't that great? There's a book written by our own Library of Congress, and it outlines all the schools and the original Congress, how Congress prayed in Congress for the first 100 years our United States was found. They had prayer in Congress, and they read the Word. All our leaders were Christians. Harvard, Yale, and Princeton were all Christian schools. The first principles and precepts of Harvard in 1646 said, everyone shall consider the main end of his life and studies to know God and Jesus Christ, which is eternal life. So all our founding fathers, Webster, Lincoln, Washington, Calvin Coolidge, Sir Isaac Newton, Lord Calvin, Louis Pasteur, Johann Kepler, Ben Franklin, John Adams, on and on it goes. All these people were Christians. And it's sad to see our country's gotten away from the Word of God. Just want to look at a few scriptures that are really fun to me. There's a lot of science in the Bible, quickly, that just... It just shows people don't know these things are in here, but here Isaiah, in Isaiah 40:22, said, "It is the Lord that sits upon the circle of the earth." Here, 2,700 years ago, he told us that the world was round.
Yeah.
We didn't know that until 500 years ago.
Huh.
You know, if somebody would have just read the Bible, they would have seen that clue there. It says in Job 26:7, the oldest book in the Bible, it says, "He hangeth the earth upon nothing." Now, back then, science taught that the earth was flat and it was mounted on three giant tortoises. That's what they believed. That was science. But here, the Bible said, way back then, it was hung upon nothing. The earth just hung upon nothing. And it talks about the shields of the earth belong to the Lord. Shields is protective barrier in the Greek, in Psalms 47:9. So, it mentions about the protection around our earth. In Isaiah 44 and Isaiah 34, he talks about, God says he stretches forth the heavens, that the heavens are rolled up like a scroll. Now today, scientists are finding that they talk about tensor calculus and the string theory, which involves 10 different dimensions. They're saying that 4 dimensions are knowable, 6 are not knowable, they're curled up. So scientists are talking about the curling up of space. And here God mentioned it way back then, and that the heavens are stretched forth. They're saying that they're finding that the heavens are being stretched. And Job in 37:9 said, "Out of the south comes the whirlwind." How did he know? There was no hurricanes over in that part of the land then. How would he possibly have known that? In Job 38:24, it says, "By what way is the light parted?" God says to him. What way is the light parted? They know by making lasers today that you have to part and columnize the light. It has to be parted. And here he mentions that back then. He says, "And as for darkness, where is its place?" In Job 38:19. We always thought that darkness was the absence of light. Just turn off a light and you have darkness. But there's actually a place for darkness, and scientists now know that there's black holes.
Wow.
Places of darkness where the gravity is so dense that it sucks the light in and doesn't allow it to escape. So these are all things here in the Word already. He says in Job 36:27, "He distills water upon man." You know, you take the oceans, the water evaporates into the clouds and rains upon man. But see, if it was salt water, comes from the ocean, it would kill plant life. So God has to distill it. And he said he distills water upon man. How would Job have known that? He must have been a Harvard man. It says God formed the dust of the earth. And in 1982, NASA, the Ames Research Center, confirmed that every element found in the human body exists within the soil. They confirmed that. And it goes on and on. Now, they didn't know anything about that there are paths in the sea, actual pathways like rivers in the sea. And a man by the name of Matthew Fontaine Maury took the scripture in Psalm 8:8, where it says there's paths in the sea. That was in 1786. And he began to investigate, and he charted all the paths and rivers in the sea. And now he's known as the father of oceanography. So that's where he got that from. And we always believe that the sun stood still in the sky, we do go around the sun, but it says the sun's going forth is from the end of heaven and his circuits unto the other end of it, in Psalms 19:4-6. And we didn't know that until the Hubble telescope confirmed that the sun has an orbit, and it a circular orbit, and travels every 260 million years in this circular orbit. We didn't even know that till then. Isaiah 27:6, it says, "Israel shall blossom and bud and fill the face of the world with fruit." Now, this was amazing for them to write that back then, that long ago. And for the Israel to fill the whole world with fruit. And today, if you check on the internet, Israel is the third world largest producer of fruit.
Yeah.
That little tiny nation, smaller than Rhode Island, and it supplies the whole world with fruit. It says that they're studying Israel because they can't believe how much produce they get out of an acre. And here, Ezekiel 36:30 says, "I will multiply the fruit of the tree and the increase of the field." God again comes through. And just to give an idea of how big this universe is, this is the last one here. The closest galaxy is the Andromeda Galaxy, and it's 2.2 billion light years away. Now, the scientists say there's over 50 billion galaxies further away. And in a light year, light travels 6 trillion miles. So if you try to take 2.2 billion times 50 billion, times 6 trillion. That gives you an idea of how big the universe is. And that's just too big to comprehend. If you just try to picture the closest galaxy, 2.2 billion, if you drew had a chart and you put the sun, and Earth is 93 million miles away, so if you had an inch for each 10 million miles, so 9 inches away you drew the Earth, how far would this circle have to be for the Andromeda Galaxy away from that circle? If you got 10 million miles per inch, it'd have to be 28 million miles away on that chart. So it gives you an idea, and it says in Isaiah 40:12, said God's hand spans the universe. So you see how big of a God we serve. You know, and we think sometimes that, you know, the problems we go through are too big for him to handle. It's amazing. So there's so much more of this. I love all this kind of science stuff. But to go on with that, I said all that because I wanted to just have a feel for the Word of God, have more of a respect for anything in the Word. It's infallible. God said it, and that's it. He meant everything he said. But to start off with this story, I'd just like to address a couple things in the beginning. Some people said, well, God doesn't do that, doesn't give dreams or visions or whatever. But yet it says in Joel 2:28, in the last days, the old men will dream dreams and young men will see visions. So there are these things. I don't know whether this comes under the classification of a vision. Some say it does. So that's fine. But we know that dreams and visions do exist. God does give them to people. In Job 7:14, he said, thou scarest me with dreams and terrifiest me through visions. So sometimes God can do these things. I did leave my body, so I know I left my body. And some have said, well, a Christian can't leave his body. But that's not really true, because Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12:2, when he saw heaven, he said, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. So he didn't know. It just happened the Lord showed me. So... And I know it wasn't a dream, because when I came back, I was so traumatized from this. And I want to have my wife come up a little bit, and she'll tell that part. And it just changed my life completely. It shook me up so much. She had to pray over me to get me back to normal after going through this. And a dream would not, it wouldn't do this. A dream would not do this. So I know it was something a lot more than a dream. And is there anybody in the Bible that has experienced hell? I want to find that out. And there is one, Jonah. It says in Jonah 2:2, in hell he cried out. And then in Jonah 2:6, the earth with her bars was about me forever, yet thou hast brought up my life from corruption. And I checked, and then I listened to Chuck Missler's tapes, since he's the Bible scholar, and got his tapes on that. And he believed, too, that Jonah was literally in hell. So there is one person, at least in the Bible.